I was there before the first dawn, before mountains rose, before oceans found their shore, before stars were spoken into being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. I hovered over the surface of the waters like breath before the first inhale. When God formed man from the dust of the ground, he breathed me, the breath of life, into the man, and humanity opened their eyes. I was there in the garden when fear entered, when hiding began, and hearts broke under shame. I remained still near, still calling creation towards grace. I was there with Abraham beneath the stars, with Moses in the holy fire, with prophets speaking hope to weary nations. Through Joel, I whispered, a day is coming that I will be poured out onto all flesh, on sons and daughters, on yours, on young and old. In Nazareth, I came gently, overshadowing Mary, and hope became flesh. I rested over Jesus, staying through wilderness and wonder, through the cross, through the silence of the tomb, and resurrection morning. I was there. Then came Pentecost, a room full of waiting, and suddenly I came with wind, fire, and courage, but not only above them as in the past, but within them. Ordinary people were filled with holy purpose. Since then, I have remained within, comforting the grieving, strengthening the weary, advocating when words fail, breathing peace into anxious hearts, lighting hope in dark places. I was there at the first breath of creation. I will be there at the restoration of all things. And now I remain within you. Breath for the weary, comfort for the hurting, presence for the seeking, fire for a faithful heart. I am the advocate, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the one called alongside. I am the Holy Spirit. Church, today we remember Pentecost, which the more and more studying I do about Pentecost, I'm wondering why we don't have decorations and a holiday surrounding Pentecost. It's pretty huge when you think about it. The Holy Spirit descending down upon us and now living within us as believers in Christ, it changed everything. If you do go on Amazon or Etsy to look for Pentecost stuff, you'll just find some doves and nothing really great, by the way. But maybe we can change that. Maybe we can have a movement. So in Acts 2, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in Pentecost, and we're going to read chapter 2, 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Could you imagine? You're sitting in a house, you're waiting, and the wind comes into the house, a windstorm. I don't know if we can imagine it, unless you go like to the Florida Aquarium and you can get inside this little tube that makes it feel like a hurricane. Maybe that might be somewhat like it. The church, broadly speaking, was born through the presence of the Holy Spirit on this day. Everything changes at the Holy Spirit now dwelling within humanity as prophesied by Joel. I'm sorry, guys. Pastor Jamie asked me to plug Bible study. We're currently going through the prophets, and we just talked about Joel, and then you could see the connection here. It was completely coincident or God-cident, but she's like, plug it. And I was like, I'm not your marketer. And she's like, well, you're the associate pastor. So there's your plug, and there's my obedience. It's a perfect little setup. Okay, so everything changes as the Holy Spirit now dwells within humanity, as prophesied by Joel. and promised by Jesus. In John 4:16, and I'll summarize John 4:16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. The Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it isn't looking for them and doesn't recognize them. But you know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives with you now and later will be in you. That's Jesus speaking to his disciples. The Greek word Jesus most likely used was parakletos, meaning, and it said it's not just one word, like it doesn't translate, so it's a bunch of words, advocate, comforter, counselor, helper, one called alongside. This is what we remember and celebrate today, the gift given to us by God on the day of Pentecost and beyond. The Holy Spirit is not distant, not watching from afar, not waiting for us to become strong enough. The Spirit comes alongside us, within us. A gift, another gift from God. The advocate is near. When the journey feels unclear or the journey feels clear, the Spirit guides. When grief feels unbearable, the Spirit comforts. When conviction is needed, the Spirit speaks truth. When words fail, are not enough, or just can't be spoken, the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf. When strength feels gone, the Spirit remains. The life of faith is an endurance journey. Discipleship is never, never described as a short sprint or a burst of energy here or there. Pentecost is not just a moment in history. It is the moment when God's presence moves from being something people visit to someone dwelling within. Before Pentecost, the disciples walked with Jesus. After Pentecost, the Holy Spirit dwelled within them. Everything changes, and the difference is immediate. The same Peter that denied Jesus now steps up and into the street before a crowd and speaks boldly. And if we move to Acts 2:14, we're going to read 14 through 39, and we're going to not read the whole thing, but a very big piece of Peter preaching. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Know what you..." That's just kind of funny that he says that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Quote, in the last days, and this is the scriptures, Joel 2, 28 through 32. Quote, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn to blood red. Before the great and glorious day of the Lord arise, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." End quote of Joel. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about Jesus, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." David knew the presence, huh? End quote. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you have seen and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." All have been called to the Lord our God gets this Holy Spirit, the presence of God living within you. See why this should be a holiday that we more like, I mean, man, like Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, like it should just be, we're going to do a movement. We're going to figure out the decorations, the colors, probably red. What? Challenge accepted. All right, good. Order some doves. Where in the world am I? I got distracted. Oh man, I am so lost. The Holy Spirit will help me. Oh, I'm too right at the bottom. Okay. Here's what I put after I've said read Acts 2:14-39. Whoa. And you say I completely got lost in my whoa. Peter does not sound like the fearful, impulsive disciple we met before in the Gospels, does he? There is now courage. There's now clarity. There's now conviction as he explains what the crowd is experiencing and confidently explains that Pentecost is a moment of transformation, of radical inclusivity. Do you see that? Pentecost is a moment of transformation, of radical inclusivity. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called to the Lord. And let's not forget Joel's word, 17-21. In the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people." Everyone who calls out on the name of the Lord will be saved. This changes everything. Everything. Another promise is fulfilled by God. So my folks with trust issues, another promise is fulfilled. The long-awaited Spirit of God has come to live within us. Everything changed. Peter is still Peter. Thomas is still Thomas. You are still you. But when the Holy Spirit dwells within you, weakness is strengthened. Confusion is guided. Wounds are comforted. Unprayed prayers are prayed. You were never alone as you were never intended to be alone. We were created to have a relationship with God directly. And remember before the apple, Adam and Eve did have a relationship directly with God. They didn't know to go to the temple. They didn't need to go to a priest. They had a direct relationship with God. And then sin befell them, and there was separation. And then came all the things. But God had a plan of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and he had a plan of connection directly back to us through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Under the old covenant, God's presence dwelled in the temple. After Pentecost, We believers become the temple where the presence of God dwells. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit is our daily empowerment as God's children. Church, if you don't feel empowered to be you today, please be empowered to be you. God created you to be exactly who you are. And by relenting and receiving the Holy Spirit and Jesus' sacrifice for us and gift to us, live your life. Be empowered to be fully you in the image of God. Church, you are being carried, you are being strengthened, you are being advocated for by the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you. Stop relying on yourself. As you alone were never intended to be. You were never intended to live on your own strength. You were never intended to be by yourself. Pentecost reminds us that God gifted us with the Holy Spirit to come alongside us as our advocate, our helper, our breath, our strength to live this life to the fullest faith. Church, receive and acknowledge the Holy Spirit, God's presence today. The breath of life, of God's life and presence is within you. Let us live that out today. Amen. Amen. Amen.